Well, as we think about the story from the Bible that we read just before, let us ask Jesus to help us to understand his words, to learn what he wants us to learn. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus, we thank you that when you went and had dinner with people, or you were walking with people in the streets, helping people in their need, you were always ready to teach and help people to understand about God, about his rule, about how we can have peace with God, and the great joy that belongs to those who enter your kingdom. Help us to think about that tonight. We thank you for the story that Jesus told that we read. Help us to understand it. Help us to see what you are teaching us. Give us hearts eager to learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we continue to look at the stories of Jesus this year, we remind ourselves that these are stories that Jesus tells to help us to understand God and his kingdom or his rule in people's lives and in the world. As we saw, Jesus told a story at dinner time. It's a dinner he had been invited to, and which was put on by a man who was known as a great teacher of the people, of God's people, a Pharisee. During that dinner, as we read, Jesus was talking about the need to be humble and to be generous. He was telling the guests not to use the dinner to show how important they were, finding the best seat closest to the one who organised and called the feast, invited them to come. No, wait back. Let him bring you forward. If you push yourself forward, people may notice you, but you may be surprised when the host says, no, where you're sitting, I had someone else that I wanted to sit there. And I wanted to honour them, not you, in that way. But Jesus was also talking to the host and saying, you need to be generous. You don't just call people to come to your dinner who may then do something for you afterwards. Do it because it is the right thing, the good thing, the kind thing to do. Invite people who can do nothing for you, but you can do something very good for them. Be generous. Don't do things just to get something back. Do things to be nice, to be kind. And really he was saying, do things the way that God does things for you and I. Now, as he was talking about this, and a man said, it will be a great blessing for anyone to eat a meal in God's kingdom. That's a strange thing to say, isn't it? But surely it's a true thing. As great it would be for me to be invited to your home and have a dinner with you, in some ways, it would be greater if the Prime Minister invited me. Well, maybe not. But if, you know, there may be someone that you really respect, someone who is great, and they invited you, you think, wow, I never thought I would be invited to have dinner with them. But what if that one invited you was God himself? What if you were to have a feast with God? That surely would be the greatest thing that could ever happen in your life. And Jesus says, really to this man, Jesus is saying, I'm not sure you understand what you're saying. Are you serious? And Jesus tells this story of a man, a great man in a town, who decides to have a great dinner. He's very generous. He's inviting many people to share in his joy, to share his feast with him. But as the story is told, we're surprised to see who in the end come to dinner, who are welcomed to share in this special meal. But to understand the story, we need to think about a couple of things. Because inviting to dinner today was different than inviting to dinner back then. First of all, we need to understand, if I invite you to dinner into my house, I expect you to stay for 2-3 hours. And then I might be saying, it's time for you to go now. It's only for a short time, but in those days, you know, a wedding feast, for instance, would last a week. This wasn't just for a few hours, it was for a long period of time. A long feast. So it was a real honour to be invited into such a feast. And you really had to commit yourself. I really want to be there. You weren't just going to give a couple of hours. You're going to give a few days, a long time. You're going to stay there and be looked after. The other thing is that we read here that there were two invitations to the dinner. Normally, if we were inviting someone to dinner, we would maybe see them at church or ring them up or send them a message on the phone. And we would say, would you like to come to dinner? It's at such and such a time on this day. Would you come? And they'll say yes or no. We just expect them to come. But in the day in which Jesus lived and told this story, there were two invitations. The first one was to say, I am putting on a dinner and I'm inviting you to come. And everybody who got that invitation understood that it was an honour to go. And they would accept that invitation. And then a second invitation would come later, when everything was ready. The first one was to make sure that you organised your life so that you could come. You'd be prepared to come. And then a new invitation would come to say, now's the time. Today is the day. Please come. Please come. All the preparations have been made. The time is now. And so the man shows his servant, the list is all the guests we invited. Now go and tell them they can start coming to my house now. And as the servant went around to tell them that the time was now, everything was ready, everybody that he spoke to had a reason not to come. They said important things needed them so they could no longer go to the dinner. There was one man who had just bought a new field. Oh, I've got to go and have a look at the field. See what it looks like. Another one's just bought some farm animals, some ox, to pull his machines. I've got to see that they know that they really do work well and can do the job I bought them for. Another man had just got married. Since the invitation had come out, he got married and he said, I've got to look after my wife. I got married, I can't come. And so the servant went back and told the master all the excuses. No one could come. The Lord of the great dinner, Jesus says, was not happy. Instead, he was very angry. We can understand why, because if you think about those excuses, they're not really good excuses, are they? They're strange and they're weak. Think of the man who bought a field. Well, who of us are going to buy a block of land without having walked on that block of land first? Why would we part money without checking it out? And it's the same with the farm animals. Who of you would buy a car without having test drived it first? Surely this farmer would have said to the people selling the farm animals that will pull his plough, show me on your field, or bring them to my field and let me see them work there. One who had a new wife, you would think, okay, that sounds a little bit more reasonable. And in the times in which Jesus lived, when you got married, the government couldn't ask you to do things. You had 12 months that you could not join the army. There were 12 months that they couldn't say, do this or do that for the government. But you could still go and visit your neighbours. You could still have a cup of tea with your friends. If the father-in-law had asked him to dinner, would he have gone? I think he would have gone. So it's still a very poor excuse. But these excuses showed something about each of the invited guests, and that's the point that Jesus was making. What it showed was that they didn't really want to go. They found a reason that felt good to them why they should not go. It showed that they were not interested in the dinner or in the Lord who called that dinner, invited them. They didn't want to share in the way that he was sharing his life, his good gifts, his kindness to them. So the Lord of the dinner says, well, they can no longer come. They can't change their minds. That's it. But I've got all this food ready. I've got the house set up. What are we going to do? Well, they're not the only people in town. So go back into the town and invite whoever you see. Invite people who would never expect to be invited to my dinner. Poor people. They're not honoured by the other people in town. People tend to get out of their way, look down at them. They're not happy with them. The blind people, people who can't walk, people who can't work, sick people, poor people, unwanted people. Go and invite them. So the servant went and grabbed them all. Come on. What, me? Yep, come on. Come to the dinner. Enjoy the gifts of our master. He wants to share his goodness with you. And they started to come. They didn't think they could, but they came, and many came, and with great joy anticipated sharing in this feast with the master. But you know, when they all came from the town, there were still loads of empty spaces. More people could go. So the master said to the servant, go outside the town, go to the highways, go to the country roads, the little lanes, wherever you can find people, strangers, people who don't belong to the town. They're not in that community. Maybe come from a different community, maybe refugees from a different land who are staying there at that time. Invite them to come as well. So the Lord's servant went all over the place looking for people to bring to the great dinner, telling them that there's a place for them. And so many more people heard the invitation and were encouraged to come, and they came. They never thought they would ever be allowed to come to such an important dinner in such a rich man's house. Could this be true? Could this invitation really be for them? Will they be welcome? What do I have to do? What do I have to bring? And the servant will have answered, nothing. Nothing. It's all ready. It's prepared. You just have to come and enjoy the life that the master gives to his guests. You see, the Lord of the great dinner desired and was determined to gather a people to know and rejoice in his goodness, his generosity, his kindness, to share in the wonders of his life. Now, as we think of that dinner, that master and how determined he was to get people to be there, we need to ask, who is Jesus talking about? What is this great kingdom, this great dinner? And we need to remember that this story came because somebody said how great it will be to eat in God's kingdom. God is the one, Jesus is saying, is calling the dinner. He's the one who has made everything ready and he's invited people. The invitation went out years ago. Went out to Adam. It went out to Noah. Went out to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the people of Israel. They had the invitation. But now it was time, as the master was getting the feast ready. It was time to come, to join in. You see, it was the time of Jesus. He was the one who makes the life of God open to us. They had to believe in Jesus to go to God's dinner. Jesus was making the preparation to take away anything and everything that would stop us from having that banquet of life forever with God. And as Jesus walked around, he was telling people, believe in me. And God's servants continued to teach afterwards to the people of Israel, will you believe in Jesus? Believe in him. Come. Trust in him. And some did, but most didn't. But you know, the invitations didn't stop. Even today, the invitation's still going out. It's gone out to people around the world, to all the highways around the world, to all the towns and communities. People are moving around the world, and as they move, they're telling about Jesus. As other people are moving, they are meeting people who tell about Jesus. The invitation says that everything is ready. You can know God. You can be part of God's kingdom. You can be not just a guest at his table. You can be his child forever. That's what Jesus came to do. And Jesus is saying to that man, do you understand what it means to be a part of God's kingdom? To know the life that God offers through Jesus. What could be more important than making sure that you have part of that life? To know that in life, God is caring for you, helping you, and that in death, you go to be with him forever. Share in that life that Jesus has, the forever life. Some are too busy with themselves and what they want to do in life. How they think they can make life better. They don't have time to listen to Jesus. There are other things I need to do, I want to do. Maybe I'll talk about Jesus and think about Jesus later. Some are interested in Jesus' teaching and expect to go to heaven when they die. But over time they drift away. They don't follow through by believing in Jesus. And the warning is that all who do not believe in Jesus will miss out. Other people don't think they could possibly come to God's great dinner. That their life is not special. In fact, that there is much that is wrong in their life. It can't be for me. I want to tell you from Jesus' story, if that's the way you're thinking, you're not listening to Jesus. People who had been rejected in the story were invited, were called, were dragged into the dinner. They thought they didn't belong. But the Master says, I will bring in who I will bring in. And the invitation is real. Come. It's for you. The invitation was addressed to outsiders. And really, if we look at our lives, that's what we are. We don't belong to God in and of ourselves. We are people who would come in rags to the great dinner. But as we come, we will find that we are welcome. All the weakness and all the wrongness that is in your life will not see you locked out. We only need to come to Jesus to meet all our needs. He has prepared everything that is necessary. This is an invitation that is to be prized and accepted. Now, of course, Jesus is not saying it's wrong to buy a field, to have property. He's not saying it's wrong to work hard or to work smarter. He's certainly not saying it's wrong to get married or to enjoy marriage or to take marriage seriously, to care for your wife or your husband if God gives you one. These are all good in themselves, but what Jesus is saying is that the things that, even the good things that God gives us and lets us do, cannot give you life, will not satisfy you. They certainly cannot give you peace with God. And a great mistake is made by those who said these things are so important that they become their life. They live for them. They make them the most important things in their life. I want to tell you from Jesus' story that God is the most important thing in our life. And what he freely offers as he calls us to take part of Jesus, to trust him, to have that life that he promises, that is what is most important. Jesus is the true life. He is the lasting life. He gives eternal life. Next time you are invited out to dinner, remember the story and ask yourself the next time you're buying something at the shop, you're making decisions, what is the most important thing? These things may be important for now, but they're not something of forever importance. Life through Jesus is forever importance. Hear the invitation. What are you doing with it? Let's pray. Well, we thank you, Father, for the words of Jesus, and we trust that we understand them a little bit better, but also hear the invitation to each of our lives. It's not what we bring, it's what you give. It's not what we do, but what you have done through your Son, Jesus. And that you set before us all the promises of life forever, that we will find true fulfillment, lasting joy, real peace, friendship with you forever. To know your love and to your care, to have our sins forgiven, and to be treated as your children. What honour belongs to all who come to you through Jesus and live as your people, as it were, at your great dinner, now and forever. We pray that each of us will know the power of that invitation, the wonder of that invitation, that it is a good thing to be a part of, but also that we are a part of it through Jesus. If there is anything in our lives that is more important to us than our relationship with you, your love for us in Jesus, take that away. Humble us. Help us to enter into your generosity, your love, by faith in Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing one more song, and this is a song that again looks at God, and it's using language perhaps we see and understand. How lovely is your dwelling place? Where do you dwell? Where do you live? How lovely is your home? How lovely it is to be with you, is what that is saying. O Lord of hosts to me, you know, the great God, the tabernacles of your grace. A tabernacle is a fancy word for a tent of your grace. It's the place where the people of Israel long ago used to go to worship God, the tabernacle, God's tent. And it's a place of grace where God gives good things to people who don't deserve it. Right? That's what we're singing there. Yes, there are times, the next verse says, that, you know, I faint, I'm weak, but I find refreshment, strength. You help me. Truly happy, blessed, the next chorus, next verse says, are they in your house that dwell there? That's what that man in the story was really saying. And that's what we're singing here. May the Lord help us to sing it with understanding, that we really understand that the best place to be in life is with Jesus, to be the object of his love. Let's sing together, How Lovely Is Your Dwelling Place.